God's grace, his mercy, and his peace belong to us from God the Father, through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for our hearing today is taken from the book of Acts, the 20th chapter, reading verses 25 through 31. These are the words of the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian elders on the beach of the Mediterranean Sea, the Aegean Sea, on the west coast of modern-day Turkey near a place called Miletus. And he had summoned the Ephesian elders from Ephesus to meet him at the beach that he might share with them some thoughts as he was on his way to Jerusalem. Listen in to his thoughts, his last words and testament, so to speak, to the people of Ephesus through their shepherds, their leaders, the elders. Paul told them, "Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock, of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears." These are the words of our God. The 85-year-old man was sitting in his chair looking out the window of his house, watching his great-grandson mow the lawn, with a tear running down his cheek. He looked to his left at the chair that had been sitting empty for almost 4 months now. And he glanced up to heaven and he said, "My dear wife is with you today, O Lord. If it's okay, tell her that I miss her. Tell her that I love her. Lord, she was my best friend for 64 years. Lord, there are days I would love to roll back the calendar. But I know that she is best off with you, O Lord." The man looked and he thought, and he couldn't shake a thought of a sermon that he had heard 30 years earlier in the month of September when he was 55 years old. And his pastor that day had placed on his heart the thought, "God has made you to be a shepherd, a pastor to your family. So go home and begin to create a safe place for yourself and for your family. Invest yourself in what really matters, and God will take care of the rest." And so the man was sitting, and he was thinking, "Lord, did I invest enough of the life you have given me into my family, into her? Did I do enough for her? Did I invest enough in us, O Lord? And Lord, What do I do with the time that is left? And then the man reached out and he took hold of a jar, a wine jug with a slit punched through the lid. A coin-saving jar. You see, he and his granddaughter were saving for a puppy for her. But as he looked at the jar, he remembered and realized that he had had this jar for 66 years. He had first used it to save for a ring for his bride-to-be. A quarter, a dollar, a 10 spot at a time saving for that bride-to-be. And in the end, his parents actually had to help out because love went faster than the gathering of money, and they liked her too. And then he and his wife, his bride, began to save for things in that jar, but eventually that jar was too restricted. They began to add jars. You see, they had daughters born, and so they began to save for their weddings, a little bit every paycheck from the day that they were born. And then they began saving for Christian education, just in case God might allow that to happen. And then they thought, too, we better save for vacation so that we take some time to slow down and laugh a little bit. Oh, and then they save for the more mundane but important, like a mortgage and the next car. All these savings. And then the man thought as he sat there, I worked my tail off for those jars. But then another line from his pastor kept reverberating in his heart. The pastor had said, a walk in the cemetery will never reveal a tombstone's cry. I wish I had spent more time at work. There was so much more to this life than money. There was time. There was love. There was patience. There were moments to listen. Heavenly Father, I can't roll back the calendar, but what do I do with what remains in me from you? Our text finds Paul writing his tombstone for his spiritual family in Ephesus, whom he would never see again this side of heaven. He said, now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Paul was not himself present in the upper room of Maundy Thursday with the 11 other 11 apostles as Jesus talked about himself and this amazing truth. But Paul had learned this truth, and Paul lived this truth from his Savior with all sincerity. For Jesus tells us, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No, Paul had not been there to hear it, but he had been charged with sharing this truth with the non-Jewish people of his world, taking the name of Jesus to the world. And of this Paul, Jesus himself had said when he called him to pastoring, to ministry, and to apostleship, Jesus said this, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. And proclaim Jesus' name to the Ephesians, Paul did, declaring in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. You see, when Paul was called to shepherd a spiritual family in the Lord Jesus, he no longer thought of investing in jars like these. Instead, he began to invest all of himself and his energy and his work ethic into the eternal souls of people. And he asked them questions like, do you know the way of eternal life? Can I tell you about a man who made a difference once for all of us? Can I tell you about a man who came into this world and accomplished the forgiveness of sins before God for all of us? And I can I tell you about a man who has taken away the fear of death? Because he has promised that one day we will rise again to life, to live with God forever. Can I tell you about that man? That's what Paul lived and breathed, and he invested all of himself into his family, the family of God's people. And so he declared to them on this day before he left them for the last time, I am innocent of your blood. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Dear pastors, shepherds, ministers of your individual nuclear families, extended families, remember to take home to your families today and every day the message that does ring from the graveyard, from the tombstones of God's people, that says, an eternal investment in your family and in the people that you know has forever dividends in the man named Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. Let us pause for a moment, however, and contemplate Paul's statement. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Dear friends, how important are all the details of this book that we love and use so much, the Bible? How important are all those details? Is it not faith in Jesus Christ as Savior that alone saves? How important are the details? Things like a six-day creation or a worldwide flood. Do we have to believe in miracles? Though is not the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead itself a miracle? How about the commandments? Are they truly commandments, or might we fudge on them just a bit? Are they negotiable just a bit? Well, Paul did say, I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim the whole will of God. Paul indicates that the whole will of God is important for us to be safe and in a safe place. Jesus himself helps us understand this when he says to us in the Gospels that false teaching and false believing are dangerous. In fact, he says that false teaching is like yeast, a living organism that feeds its way through the bread dough and will feed its way through the entire batch of bread dough given enough time. And so false teaching has a life of its own, and left unchallenged will permeate a faith, a congregation, a church body, always with the goal of the cross of Jesus Christ, the heart song of that person, of that congregation, of that church. That's the goal of Satan with false teaching that is a yeast. Now remember our Savior with the nail marks in his hands and in his feet, the spear wound in his side? Remember that Savior whose wounds came because of our sin to pay for our sin, but whose wounds brought payment for our sin and freedom from death, and whose resurrection guaranteed that we will rise again too? Remember him? Can we trust such a Savior? Can we trust his every word? Paul indicates that we can, and Paul indicates that we must. For you see, Satan loves the leverage that we would give him if we would not believe one verse of Jesus' book. If we would crack the will of God, he would love that leverage that we could give him. Because you see, if one passage falls, in the end, they truly all are at risk, and in reality, they all fall. So the whole counsel of God, the whole will of God is important for you and for me and for those whom we will leave behind. Let me ask you a question that may seem kind of depressing, but how far along are you on planning your tombstone? Blank slate. Some of us have our names and our birth date on there already, but how about the rest? What will you say to the world, to your family and friends after you are gone. Better yet, have you thought about your funeral celebration? What hymns, what scripture lessons, what message? And how will you connect that funeral celebration to the committal of your body to the ground, which is celebration for you? You're in heaven already. How will you connect the dots between your funeral celebration and your tombstone? May Neubauer is a member at St. Paul's, and she just finished attending the Following the Promise class through the summer. She and Joan Malinowski were just a hoot all summer long attending Following the Promise. And May gave me, she didn't know it, but she gave me a tombstone message this last Tuesday night. We were wrapping up with some discussion on baptism. And May said, you know, Pastor, every day when I wash my face, I take the water on the cloth and I remind myself of my baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then I ask God to help me live this day as a baptized child of God, investing the life that he had given her in the waters of holy baptism, planning to invest it in his world each and every day. You see, May would say, my forever is taken care of. What am I going to do today to shine for my God and invest in his world? Paul goes on. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Ah, the importance of the blood, right? I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day with tears. You and I know and believe that we have eternal life in Jesus. We cling to that. We love that. But Paul does not stop reminding us in these verses to think about today and how to be safe and have a safe place in our Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock. The Greek word keep watch, I was expecting to find the military sentinel term from Romans 1:16, or 16:17 rather. But instead, what you find is the word to draw close, to bring near. Paul says, keep watch over yourselves and the flock. Bring them near. And you think of the shepherd grabbing the little lamb and cradling it close to his heart for protection. We think of the good shepherd cradling us to his chest. The shepherd draws us near in our fears. The shepherd draws us near in our tears. The shepherd draws us near in our doubts. The shepherd sits near us and listens to our questions. And then he pulls us close and he speaks into our hearts of faith. And he reminds us of his blood, he reminds us of his love, he reminds us of the forgiveness of sins, and he reminds us of his promises as he fills our hearts and our minds and our love, our lives with his love. And you know, as we grow, then he whispers in our ear, as I have shepherded you, as I have loved you, now you go love and you go shepherd, and welcome to family church. Welcome to being ministers and pastors and shepherds of your household. Remember how angry Jesus got with his disciples? When they tried to bring the little ones, the children, to him, into his presence to be blessed by him and hear his word. And they tried to keep him away, and Jesus said, let the children come to me. Don't hinder them. For the kingdom of God, my rule and the forgiveness of sins and the declaration of peace is for them. And in fact, he would say later, unless you have the faith of a child like them, you won't enter heaven. Let them come. And so moms and dads, bring your little ones to the waters of holy baptism. Bring them to Kids Club from 9:15 to 10:15 every Sunday. Raise them to know the Lord in your home through daily devotions and bedtime prayers and meal prayers and by how you live your life. And then our families outside of nuclear family, well, welcome to St. Paul's and our mission statement that I pray in your heart and mind you're a part of. By every possible means, bring every person around you closer to Christ. That's how we live. That's how we operate. That's how we shine. Jesus said it differently, but the same. He said, "Let your light so shine before people that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." But before we move on, let's not overlook a little point that Paul makes. He says, "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock." Just as when you're on the airplane and the flight attendant says, should the cabin fill with smoke and the oxygen mask drop down, make sure to put the mask on your own face first to prepare yourself to help others. So to be shepherds and pastors of our families. The Lord says, draw near to me every day. Be in the word. Hear my voice. Grow in your faith. Grow in your knowledge. Grow in your trust. And I will equip you to shepherd the people I have given to you. But Paul warned his flock, his family, that after he left, wolves would come into the flock, false teachers, who would ravage the flock, distort the truth, appealing to the sinful nature in all of us to turn our back on the things that God says. And Paul's appeal to be on our guard came with this impassioned reminder and plea. Remember how night and day I never stopped warning you with tears. From where came Paul's tears? From where came Paul's passion? From where came his love for souls? Well, it came from the love of our God for our souls, for you and for me. Jesus valued you and me enough to die for our sins. Jesus valued the souls of the world enough to die for their sins. And in the day-to-day battle that is life and death in the spiritual realm in our walk, Jesus values us enough to remind us how he has died for our sins. Paul was relentless in keeping the flock safe, reminding them day and night with tears, do not let go of the shepherd who has grabbed hold of you. And Paul made sure to draw them close to their shepherd to fill their ears with the words of the shepherd that they might be kept safe. And so as you and I think about our spiritual families, whether nuclear or beyond and beyond, friends, associates, relatives, neighbors, as we think of them, see the value in each and every one of us who's here. And take the time each and every day to reach out and interact and to draw the flock close to the safety of their Savior, Jesus. What can we learn from the ribbon of green? If ever you are one who has traveled across the great plains of this nation during the dry time of year, and it is acre after acre, mile after mile of brown. Every once in a while in your travels, you might see ahead of you on the horizon this ribbon of green, and if you've traveled there enough, you know what that means. There's water there. For the trees grow by the streams. The grasses stay green by the streams. And you are experiencing the beauty of Psalm 1. You are experiencing Paul's desire for the Ephesian elders and all who followed them. And you are experiencing the picture of what it means to be safe in our Savior Jesus, safe in his word. Think of Psalm 1. Blessed is the person who meditates on God's word day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, yielding its fruit in season. Its leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind carries away. Where is the water of the word of God? There is life, my friends. And as Abby read for us the Good Shepherd Psalm, the shepherd reminds us that when we draw close to him, he draws close to us through his word, and he feeds us, and he nourishes our faith, and he waters us, and he forgives our sins. And our faith grows green and produces fruit for him, and it overflows into our lives as we invest into the families he has given us. We cannot help ourselves. How much time do you have left to be a pastor, a shepherd to your family, to your people? Is there a time when we are too old to shepherd? Is there a time when we are too young to shepherd? And Lord, if I have time, what am I to do with it? And so the man stares out across his backyard, and he looks and he says, "Is that Robert mowing the lawn? No, I think that's Jonathan, my grandson. I don't think I know him that well. God, I think we need to do something about that. For there still is time. Help me to know him better, to love him more, and point him heavenward. And God, if it's okay, tell my dear friend at your side that someday Jonathan and I will come and find her together when you have called us safely home too. Heavenly Father, I still have time from you. Help me invest it in your people, in my family, the things that really count. Amen." Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have so richly filled us with life. As the Creator God, you give us breath this day. You give us the beat of our hearts this day. You give us gifts and talents to live and to love and to serve you and each other. We are so gifted, and we have material wealth that just makes this world wonder at our nation and wonder at our world. And we are spoiled in the wealth you have given us. We have so much to share and to invest in our world, but help us never lose sight of the fact that the greatest investment made in us, you made through your Son. We have the forgiveness of sins. We have life everlasting that nothing and no one can ever take away. Heavenly Father, today also you remind us that we have time. Help us to go home this day and create a safe place for our families near and far. A safe place in their Savior Jesus. A safe place in all the truths of his word. And may we as shepherds be faithful until the day that you call us home, but may we leave behind your legacy, whether it be on our tombstone or in notes to family and friends or notes in our Bibles, scribbles in the margin, whatever people will look at and say, how he loved, how she loved his Jesus, her Jesus. Give us the wisdom to shine for you, to invest for you in people. For there is a payback that is out of this world, a payback that extends beyond time. Your people gathered around your throne in love, in power, in joy, in holiness, in the sweetness of you. So thank you for being the God who invested and invests so richly in us. And thank you for the time to do the same for you and for others. We pray in Christ's name. In that name, all God's people say, amen.